Okay. We'll call this meeting to order. Thank you for being here for the Grover Beach City Council meeting of Monday, September 11th, 2023. May we have, we have a flag salute student here today, but prior to that, if you would please join me in a moment of silence. Two things. One, to honor Gracia Bello, who was a longtime Grover Beach resident and advocate for our city. She passed on August 27th of this year at age 93. She lived a good life. And also, in memory of the lives lost on September 11th, 2001. So if we could just have a moment of silence, please. Thank you all. Okay, we'll get on to the fun part of this meeting, and that is our flag salute. So Grace, if you'd like to come up, and I'm going to tell them all about you. Tonight, our flag salute will be presented by Gracie Fonts. She is 11 years old and a sixth grade student at Fairgrove Elementary School. Gracie likes that she learns something new every day in history and math. She also enjoys meeting with her second grade buddy. She enjoys living on the Central Coast because she is close to family in Ventura, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach, and also being able to live so close to the ocean and the beach. She would like to pursue a career as an actor after she graduates from high school. Outside of school, Gracie, her interests include acting, dancing, and reading. She has taken multiple acting lessons and will start dance class this autumn. Tonight, Gracie is accompanied by her father, Jeff Fonts. So we'll look for you on the stage, but in the meantime, whenever you're ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. If you'll stay right there, may bring you your dude on. I told you, I warned you we're going to have a picture, right?
Yeah.
So come on over here. These are your gratitude. And here is a thank you for you being here. So if you'd like to hold that for your picture, you do that.
This is what mom used to do.
Thank you very much.
Alrighty then, if we may have a roll call, please.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Councilmember Wyrick.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Here.
Mayor Bright.
Here. Thank you very much. We'll move on to closed session announcements. I will look to our city attorney for that, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You did convene in closed session on August 28th related to public
employee performance evaluation. Consistent with Government Code 54957B1, and now it's on the city manager. You reconvened in open session, wherein you did announce at that time that the council members had deliberated on the city manager's performance evaluation and whether he warranted a salary adjustment, and then gave direction to staff to return in open session this evening with a contract amendment number 3 to his employment agreement, which was for your consideration, which is on your agenda this evening.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, so we'll move on now to agenda review. At this time, the council will review the order of the business to be conducted and request any changes to the order of the day. Any from my colleagues here?
No, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. If we might have a motion.
Move that we approve the agenda as published.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Now Opposed. Excellent. All right, we move on. This portion of the meeting is the ceremonial calendar, and we have two proclamations today. The first one is the proclamation for Patriots Day, and I have asked Councilmember Rushing to read that for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council recognizing September 11th, 2023 as Patriots Day. Whereas September 11th, 2023 marks the 22nd anniversary of the tragic events that unfolded on September 11th, 2001, a day forever etched in the hearts and minds of Americans. And whereas on that fateful day, our nation witnessed acts of unspeakable terror that claimed the lives of nearly 3,000 innocent individuals and forever altered the landscape of our country. And whereas in the face of adversity and devastation, countless acts of heroism, sacrifice, and unity emerged as first responders, law enforcement personnel, and ordinary citizens demonstrated unwavering courage and selflessness. And whereas September 11th is recognized by federal law as Patriots Day, a day of remembrance that stands as a solemn reminder of the resilience, compassion, and unity that define the spirit of our great nation. And whereas on this Patriots Day, we honor the memory of the lives lost and pay tribute to the enduring strength of survivors, families, and communities affected by the events of September 11th, 2001 by flying the American flag at half staff. And whereas we recognize the dedication and sacrifices of our military personnel, first responders, and all those who continue to serve and protect our country, uphold the ideals and values upon which our nation was founded. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Grover Beach City Council does hereby officially proclaim September 11th, 2023 as Patriots Day in Grover Beach and urges all citizens to observe this day with reflection, remembrance, and acts of kindness in honor of those who perished, those who survived, and those who continue to safeguard our freedoms. Thank you.
Thank you. Did we have someone, Chief? Both chiefs?
Thank you. Good evening, Council, Madam Mayor, and Chief John Peters of the Grover Beach Police Department. And to my left is Chief Stephen Lieberman with the Five Cities Fire Authority. We are deeply honored to receive this proclamation in remembrance of the tragic events of September 11th, 2001. On this solemn occasion, we must reflect on the immense loss of life and the enduring impact of those terrorist attacks. It is a stark reminder of the resilience and unity that emerged from the ashes as communities came together to support one another, the first responders, and displayed extraordinary bravery. As we accept this proclamation, let us pledge to never forget the sacrifices made that day for those who have died since that day due to 9/11-related illnesses and for those that died on that day. Thank you for honoring the memory of those that we lost on that day. And we appreciate receiving this proclamation tonight.
Thank you.
I'm a fire person, so I'm not prepared with a speech. I just wanted to share some additional thoughts. This day has impacted all of us, and I posted something in our social media. Is most of us, except for the newer generation that came after September 11th, remembers where we were, exactly where we were and what we were doing when this happened. And I think it's important. My mother described September 11th as our generation's Pearl Harbor, and that we have an obligation to keep sharing the story. This morning, I picked up some flowers. I dropped them at the memorial tree in Ramona Park. And then our crew that's with me this evening, along with the others, we presented flowers to our 911 memorial. That includes steel from the World Trade Center at Station 1. So it's a great day to reflect. And Chief Peters, those were great words. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate all that you do, you and all of your crews and your men and women. Thank you very much. So shall we do a picture?
There we go. Thank you.
I really missed our 9/11 ceremony this year. I'm so excited. Thank you for being here.
All right, well, thank you all for that. Another somber proclamation for the National POW MIA Recognition Day, and Councilmember Wyrick has agreed to read that for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. The proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council declaring September 15, 2023 as National POW/MIA Recognition Day. Whereas on this day, we gather as a community to honor and remember the brave men and women who have served our nation with unwavering dedication and who as prisoners of war, POWs, or missing in action, MIAs, have made extraordinary sacrifices in the defense of our freedom and the principles we hold dear. Whereas we recognize that the families of these courageous individuals have endured the pain of separation and the anguish of uncertainty, bearing a heavy burden as they await the return of their loved ones or seek closure and solace through the knowledge that their sacrifices are not forgotten. Whereas the National POW/MIA Recognition Day serves as a solemn reminder of our duty to honor and remember all those who have served in uniform and to ensure that no one is left behind or forgotten, reaffirming our commitment to the values of loyalty, duty, and respect for those who have borne the cost of our liberty. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council does hereby officially proclaim September 15, 2023 as National POW/MIA Recognition Day in Grover Beach and call upon all citizens to join together in recognizing and honoring our POWs and MIAs, their families, and all those who have served in our armed forces with courage and distinction. And I did want to make it a point, too, that our City Council had approved previously flying on the day of this Friday the POW/MIA flag.
Thank you. So do we have anyone in the audience to Hello.
Hello. My name is Robert Tolan. I'm here with Welcome Home Military Heroes. We want to thank you guys for doing it. Our organization yesterday was our 13th anniversary. We did our first Welcome Home at San Luis Obispo Airport with my parents and I. There's only three of us. In April, we just had a welcome home in Santa Maria Airport where we had 1,200. So we've definitely have expanded. You know, COVID brought us to the veteran vehicle salutes where we've traveled all over the Central Coast and we've honored men and women, including two POWs. Both of them were in the Bataan Death March. And those salutes were huge. We ended up having to shut down roads and one of them took 20 minutes for all the vehicles to go through. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, both of them have passed. But the funny part is we were told that the one was the last surviving Death March survivor. And come to find out, we were wrong. And the other one was two blocks away.
Oh, my.
Imagine that. Out of this whole country, that the other one was just a few blocks away. So we're able to honor him just a few months later. And like I said, they both have passed since then. But just to know that those men went through what they went through. And so it means so much for you guys to be doing this, and thank you guys again for your fire department and your police department who, you know, when we come in here into Grover, we're able to call them and they help us, you know, get through streets and or just honor our military heroes. So thank you guys again, and I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for all that you do. Now you're gonna have to have a picture as well.
Thank you.
righty then. We'll move on to the public communications portion of our meeting. During this time, the council will allow public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we may not act on items that are not on the agenda. So I believe that I neglected to call out the phone line number. So please, if anyone is interested in discussing or having a comment on anything that's not on the agenda, please call 805-321-6639. I don't have any speaker slips. Is there anyone in the audience who'd care to comment at this time? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council and we'll move on to, what about on the phone line? I'm sorry.
No, there's no one on the line.
Thank you. So now we'll move on to the consent agenda. These are routine items that are listed as a group. Members of the audience may speak to any item on the consent agenda. And is there any member of the public who would wish to address the council on any item on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, bring it back to the council. Are there anyone has any need to pull an item or discuss something in detail?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to pull item 5 since I have to recuse myself on that one.
Okay, very good. So we'll pull that and we'll vote on that separately after you recuse yourself, once mm-hmm. you're recused. Okay, very good. And then also, City Attorney, do you have any announcements regarding?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, in regards to item number 3, the City Manager's proposed amendment number 3, government code requires that increases in salary have to be reported out in verbally in a meeting before the council were to consider it. So therefore, I'm going to read briefly out of the staff report so that we can comply with the government code in relationship to what's being considered before you tonight.
Thank you.
And functionally, this amendment number 3 would increase the salary for about $16,233 from $231,900 to $246,133. It would also reclassification of the city manager's salary range on an annual basis to equal the median salary level of San Luis Obispo County city managers. So the city manager's salary is lower than that median level. Those are the two fundamental two fundamental components that are contained within Amendment 3 to the city manager's service agreement with the city's contract. Therefore, that's what's there before you this evening for consideration. And that's the end of my report.
Very good. All right, then. What we're looking at right now are 3 items: the minutes of the City Council meeting on Monday, August 28th, 2023. City Manager Employment Agreement Amendment Number 3, and then we'll skip item 5 and go to item 6, which is Award of Contract for Construction Management Services CIP 2287 West Grand Avenue Streetscape Project. So would someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept this consent agenda as revised.
Second.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Councilmember Wyrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, now we'll let Councilmember Wyrick take a very short walk for a very short while. Okay, so now we are taking this item number 5 separately, and that is letter of support for Assembly Constitutional Amendment 13.
Are you ready for a motion?
I am.
Beautiful. I move that we authorize the mayor to sign a letter supporting Assembly Constitutional Amendment 13, ACA 13, also known as the Protect and Retain the Majority Vote Act.
Thank you.
Yep. Second.
Very good. So we have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes.
And let the record show that Councilmember Wyrick has recused himself.
Thank you.
Bring him back.
So we'll wait for him to come on back. Very good. Okay. We'll move on to the public hearing portion of this agenda, of which we do not have an item this evening, and move on to regular business. Item number 7, fiscal year 22-23 year-end financial review, or as we used to call them, unaudited actuals.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. I'm Lorena Zarate. I'm the finance manager, and I'm here to present the year-end financial review report.
Thank you.
So on June 26th, the council adopted our fiscal year 23-25 budget document, which included estimated figures for fiscal year 23. After June 30th, staff has been working on year-end analysis and adjustments to prepare our external audit and has conducted an initial review of the year-end financial results, which staff will present today. As a disclosure, the financial information that staff is presenting tonight is unaudited and is subject to change with the upcoming audit process. In regards to the timeline, the audit process will begin mid to late September. It's starting the end of this week, actually. And the ACFA is scheduled to be completed by early December, which will then be brought back to the council for approval on January, the last meeting in January, perhaps. January 2024 is the approximate timeline. So we have a visual here up on the screen. So let's begin by taking a look at the general fund, and this is a summary. Revenues ended the year lower than what was estimated back in June by about $123,000. This is mainly due to cannabis tax revenue, which was lower than estimated by about $100,000, given continued market uncertainties. In regards to expenditures also ended the year lower than what was estimated by about $591,000. This was mainly due to capital improvement items and expenses that were budgeted in fiscal year 23, but not completed or fully expended in the fiscal year. Overall, the fiscal year 23 general fund estimated surplus is about $1.7 million and is higher than the $1.2 million originally projected by staff back in June. Staff is estimating a carryover of unspent appropriated funds for capital projects and other expenses of about $2.3 million. This carryover is higher than the originally projected carryover by about $980,000. The estimated carryover reduces the city's ending reserves from $6.6 million to $6.1 million. However, this revised level of reserves is equal to 42% of the city's operating budget, which is significantly still above the goal of 25%. And this still provides sufficient reserves for emergencies and unforeseen needs and demonstrates the city's strong financial position. In regards to revenue, this graphic shows sales tax revenue in the gray shading towards the middle as the city's number one tax revenue, and it totaled $5.9 million for the year, $2.5 million of which is related to Measure F20. Sales tax revenue increased by about $300,000 from the prior year. Property tax revenue, which is the light blue shading towards the bottom, is a close second at $5.5 million. Cannabis tax revenue is the green shading towards the top, and it totaled for the year $1.2 million, which is about $300,000 lower than the prior year. In comparison, we see a 20% drop from fiscal year 22 and a 50% drop as compared to fiscal year 21 in regards to cannabis revenue. Overall, the tax revenue totaled $14.6 million for the fiscal year, and it comprises 82% of the city's total revenue. For expenditures, in the summary table we showed initially, we included an estimated carryover of unspent appropriated funds of about $2.3 million. Of the $2.3 million estimated carryover, $2 million of that is related to CIP projects that were not completed in the fiscal year. And these include the West Grand Avenue Streetscape Project, the City Courtyard Improvements, Local Street Rehab Program, the North 12th Street Sidewalk Project, Train Station Stormwater Alternative Compliance Project, and Facilities Conditions and Needs Assessment. Of the $2.3 million, $350,000 carryover is related to capital and other expenditures that were budgeted in the fiscal year but not completed or purchased towards the end of the year. And these include circulation element and noise element, electronic filing system, server and other IT-related costs, asset management system, and the police van that was budgeted for. For the water fund, it is estimated to end the year with $1.8 million less than the estimates that we provided back in June. Water revenues are lower than estimated by about $200,000. This was mainly due to water usage, due to the water conservation efforts we had, the winter storms where there were higher than normal rainfall for the season. Expenditures are higher than anticipated by about $1.6 million, mainly due to capital projects, specifically the Central Coast Blue Project and its pre-construction costs. The higher expenditures are mainly due to increased costs of construction, equipment, and other items, including inflation. Total pre-construction costs allocated to the city for the Central Coast Blue Project were $2.8 million for the fiscal year. This updated fiscal year information was reflected in the utility rate study that was presented to Council just recently on September 5th. For the wastewater fund, it is projected to end the year at $618,000 more than what we estimated back in June. Wastewater revenues are higher than estimated by about $163,000 related to transfers in for a project, the sewer upgrade for existing flows project specifically. Expenditures are lower than anticipated, mainly due to actual costs of projects being lower than originally estimated and projects that were not completed in the fiscal year. Similar to the water fund, this information of the fiscal year for the capital projects was presented on September 5th as part of the utility rate study. Lastly, staff is recommending that the council receive this report on the fiscal year 23 year-end financial review or provide staff with alternative direction. As a reminder, staff will return to the council in November with a quarterly update and then again in February with the mid-year review. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Any questions to my left?
No. None from me. Thank you.
To my right?
No, ma'am.
No. So I just have one, and I don't know that it's even really a question. It's more of an observation. In your slide, you had said that there is a council goal of 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Reserves.
Thank you. Now I'm wondering if this council would care to maybe have a discussion in the future about setting an actual minimum rather than it just being a council goal. And what made me think of this is at our last special meeting, are you wanting to say something? Okay. At our last special meeting, our consultant, Mr. Tuckfield, had indicated that we didn't have a set.
I think that was specifically for the water fund. I believe we mm-hmm. do have an official threshold for that, don't we?
Thank you, Councilmember. We do have a minimum reserve goal for our general fund of 15%. That's a floor in our goal, and then 25% is the council policy goal. And then right now, as the council is seeing, we do have an amount above that. It is a fluid analysis, and as we approach the mid-year review process coming forward and update the financial forecast, I think we'll be able to put the goal percentage in greater context around what our future needs are and be able to really lock into a goal for reserves that meets the council's expectations. But correct, we are looking at water and sewer reserves that could be strengthened through a goal statement in addition to the one we have in place for the general fund.
Okay. I just feel like if we have one fund has that, I think all of them should, just as a, I don't know, as a precautionary measure. So are we open to that?
I'm open to that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, that was it for me. I don't have any questions. Your report was very concise and clear, and really appreciate that very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
No, ma'am. None for me.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Any public comment on this issue? I have no speaker slips, but anyone here care to? No. Anyone on the phone?
No, there's no one on the line.
Very good. All right, then. Well, we will receive and file this. And thank you very kindly. Okay, we will now move on to public communications again. If there's anyone in the audience that would care to speak on anything that's not on the agenda, feel free. Seeing none, I'm going to look to you again. No one on the phone lines. Okay, very good. Right then, we'll move on to council committee reports. And I'm just going to go down the row here. Robert?
I have no reports.
Thank you. Mayor. Mr. Rushing?
I have no reports.
Mr. Wyrick?
Yes. For the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, the Water Resources Advisory Committee, which we call the RAC, had a meeting last Wednesday, September 6th. It was mainly presentations and updates, including one about the City of San Luis Obispo's Water Resources Recovery Facility Project. There's an ad hoc committee that was looking at the Dana Reserve Project, which is in a POMO for their Environmental Impact Report, which is called an EIR. And then there was an update on groundwater management throughout all the different basins covering the county. And people noted different things, like the San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury had a report on the Paso Robles Water Basin. And our chair noted that the San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, SLOCOG, for their Housing and Infrastructure Regional Framework, now the HIF, but we were presented on July 24th, that the observation they made is it was the first time they really noticed that water resource availability was taken into consideration in such a framework in connection with housing development, which is, you know, that committee says it's unusual. But the only action we did actually take was there's a presentation of bylaw amendments for the RAC, which was on in the bylaws ad hoc committee, which I was on, made recommendations. We put out there. Everyone said great and voted to recommend to the Board of Supervisors to formally approve it. So that was the only formal action we took. And even though the Five Cities Fire Authority Board, we haven't met this month too, I know that probably our city manager in his other role will cover some of those updates on that. But unless our board chair, Councilmember Rushing, wants to cover things, since there's very timely stuff, of course. But I'll just leave it at that.
All righty. Thank you.
Regarding Five Cities, I figured we would wait until after the Board of Supervisors had a chance to talk. But I think you were referring to the fact that the Board of Supervisors tomorrow does have an agenda item in which they will be considering their options for fire services for the Oceano Community Services District. And I look forward to seeing what their discussion is and moving forward with that.
Very good. Thank you. That's it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I had a few. I was alternate to the San Luis Obispo Regional Transit Authority meeting. There are two new buses that have been purchased and received. And they intend to hold a public meeting or several to discuss the future and possible routes for those two buses. And the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, there's been an issue with the redundancy project There's a clarifier that, unfortunately, the concrete floor has cracked. So we can't use it at this point in time. However, all the parties involved, we haven't decided who's at fault or what like that, but all parties are engaged and working towards a resolution. And that's it for my council committee reports. So we move on now to who'd I forget?
I have one
I'm
for
so
you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I mean
end
it.
Of the alphabet. It's all right. I'm used
Good
to it.
Lord.
I only have one as well. So I attended the South County Chamber of Commerce Rise and Shine last Wednesday, and that's always a fun time to kind of shake hands, get up early in the morning, and hear some reports from county supervisors as well as all the cities. We heard first from James Franco, I believe his name is, from Mr. Paulding's office, at the county level. Dana Reserve is the big one that they're focusing on right now, and they had a split vote with the supervisors most recently, recommending against it generally, but they decided to move the Planning Commission meeting to October 23rd and 24th. They wanted a little more time to consider all the options, maybe take in some more information and some more public comment. So they had not picked between those days, from my understanding yet, but looking at a later October date for the next Planning Commission consideration of moving forward or not with that Dana Reserve project there in Napomo. Slowplanning.slowplanning.org is the website that they're directing people to stay up to date on that if anyone's interested. It's been mentioned the September 12th Board of Supervisors meeting regarding FCFA or CAL FIRE and kind of which direction they want to head. So that was another thing brought up there. PISMO, we heard from their interim city manager, Mr. Garcia, and he mentioned gave an interesting presentation on how they develop the analytics that they use to choose which city services they pursue and kind of figuring out who in their target is a visitor versus a tourist, and they made that distinction and kind of figuring out how the people who live in that city came to live in that city. So that was kind of an interesting background, just kind of everything from cell phone metrics to interviews with people and things like that, kind of figuring out how they make the moves that they choose to. And then Ms. Erickson presented on behalf of Grover Beach and highlighted our streetscapes that are coming up and a few of the other capital improvement projects that are on the forefront of our minds. And then we heard from Arroyo Grande as well. They are working on updating the general plan and getting some of the flood control work done from the past winter storms. And then also they're excited about the permanent parklets going in the village, some of those things that kind of became popular after COVID with the K-rails and things, and they've decided to make them permanent in a few places. So they look nice, and they're going to go in November, so that'll kind of increase the outdoor dining options out that way. So those are some of the highlights from that meeting, and that's all I have.
Very nice. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, now we're going to move on to council communications. And how about if I start to my left? Have you any council communications?
No, none for me. Thank you.
I do not. Thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate very it. Good.
Actually, wait, no, I'm going to do it. I'm sorry.
No, you can't.
Just wanted to dovetail on the council. On the Chamber of Commerce note, there is a Chamber of Commerce mixer coming up in a couple of weeks over at the Exploration Discovery Station, and it's close to my heart as well. I did have the opportunity over the course of last weekend to build a couple of playhouses, one of which is being donated to the Exploration Discovery Station so that the kids can enjoy that. That's part of a leadership program that I'm part of. I know Mr. Wyrick was a part of that a couple of years back ago. Our mayor was last year, if memory serves. So did want to give a shout out to the leadership program for the South County Chambers of Commerce. It's an amazing program. And come check out the new play structure that's going to go into the Exploration Discovery Station.
The mixer is the 27th.
Thank you. Yeah. Did not know that.
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday the 27th.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Now I'll go to my right.
Thank you for bringing that up, Councilmember. Should be a great time. Had by all at the Discovery Center. I only have one item. The Grange was doing another yard sale, and it didn't get enough vendors, so it's been postponed. So if you were planning on going to the yard sale this weekend, Saturday, over on 13 and What's that cross Manhattan. Street? Manhattan. Thank you. It's not going to happen, so we'll postpone it till another time. September's a really busy week, a month for all the kids and games, and so we didn't get it. Only seven vendors chose to participate, so we're going to do that at a different time. That's it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Councilmember Wyrick?
Yeah, I have a few things to report, but it seems like it's a lot less than usual just because at one point I did get sick. And on that note, for the Grove City Grange, they did have their pancake breakfast on Sunday, September 3rd. It looked like it was really busy, but since I wasn't feeling well, I took mine to go so everyone could stay away from me. But I know that Mayor Pro Tem Robert was probably busy at the helm and stuff of cooking there,
over
as usual.
Over
200
people.
Over 200, okay. That's really busy, actually.
It's a record. Yeah.
Records are good in that way. And then for the League of California Cities, which we call Cal Cities, the Channel Counties Division, which includes all of San Luis Obispo County, which has our city, they did have a virtual legislative lunch presentation on Thursday, August 31st. And basically their statewide acting legislative director, Jason Ryan, presented on different pieces of legislation they were tracking, mostly focused on housing, behavioral health, and different funding sources. And then for the Cal Cities had on last Thursday, September 7th, a webinar on successful DEI programs and lessons learned. I think the major takeaways was that there's a lot involved in that kind of work, especially to do it authentically within city governments and internally and also within communities with a lot of strategy and commitment. Not surprisingly, some of the different examples they used were places that really began that work in response to hate crimes, basically, or different incidences that highlight that the problems, yes, do exist in their communities. And it's always a lens we need to keep in mind, too, since we're not immune to that either. And earlier today, Cal Cities had a webinar for the annual conference next week's for voting delegates informational webinar. It was really just one that talked about procedural ways and timelines that we should expect. At this point, there isn't likely to be a general assembly of the delegates because there was no resolution submitted ahead of time. There's no bylaw amendments. The only thing that could trigger that is if at the conference itself, 10% of delegates sign on to a petition resolution, basically, that becomes qualified. But we won't know until next week, obviously. And so on Thursday, September 21st, it's known if there will be a general assembly on that Friday or not. But they wanted us to make sure we knew all this so that if there was one, we didn't walk in having no idea what we were doing. So that was helpful. And that's the end for me.
Very good. Thank you. I had just a couple things. Just wanted to make everyone aware that according to the League of Women Voters, September 19th is National Voter Registration Day. The League reports that just 1 in 4 Americans are registered to vote. I found that to be really amazing. So please take the time to register, or those that you know who aren't, maybe encourage them to do so. And then lastly is September is Spinal Cord Injury Awareness Month. Keith Smith is a gentleman who unfortunately has suffered such an injury, and he had sent some information out mainly just to please be aware of the dangers that may surround you and to protect yourself from those types of injuries. So thank you for that. And we can now move on to City Manager Report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council Members. Good evening to you. A few brief updates. Building on the earlier comments from Council Members Wyrick and Rushing, tomorrow the Board of Supervisors is considering a topic on the Oceano Fire Service. I will be there in my capacity as Chief Executive Officer of the Five Cities Fire Authority to provide comments in supporting a partnership between the county and the Five Cities Fire Authority for Oceano Fire Service. And we look forward to the discussion and deliberation and aim to reach an agreement that will be in the best interest of all parties as we continue to promote effective, responsible local fire service delivery in our area. And then for the council and public benefit, just knowing that Mr. Wyrick and Mr. Rushing are serving on the board for the Five Cities Fire Authority, and Mr. Rushing is the board chair currently. So thank you for that service. A couple things from the staff perspective. Last week, we actually had two presentations on a national and international stage. Our public works team made a presentation on a Measure K-14 street repair program at the American Public Works Association International Conference and Expo in San Diego. This was a proposal, a presentation they had to submit a proposal for, and they were picked and presented a great presentation. We heard from a number of individuals who were in the session and said it was one of the best sessions they went to. I want to recognize Aaron Wigan and Gabriel Munoz-Morris for their fantastic job with the presentation and showing what a small beachfront community in California can do in helping to provide infrastructure that supports our community. It's a really great job that they put together. And then in the same week, our police department did a presentation on our drone program at a law enforcement conference in Las Vegas, again, highlighting the fantastic work and innovation of a small law enforcement agency in helping to use technology to better serve our community. I want to thank Commander Monroe and Sergeant Goodman for their work in putting on and delivering that presentation. Again, Grover Beach on the map. And we put forth the highlights and successes that go far beyond a small city of 13,000. And lastly, the Sunday is the 34th annual Dune Run. A Grover Beach tradition, a very small scale, homespun beachfront race, walk, run. I encourage everybody to check it out and go to our website and sign up if you haven't done so. You can show up day of and sign up there too. It is a 5K run, 5K walk, or 10K run. Starts off at the Grand Avenue Beach Plaza and meanders on the boardwalk and goes in the dunes and sand. It's a delightful course that is a beautiful way to get some exercise on a Sunday morning. I'll be out there with my wife and daughter and look forward to joining others in this great event. Thanks to our community services staff and the Rotary Club for their great work in putting on this event. Thank you.
Thank you. I too will be out there with my daughter and my 2-month-old granddaughter. So 3 generations will be walking. It'll be fun. Okay. Thank you very much for that. City Attorney, your turn.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess it is official now. As of this morning, I announced my retirement to all of you. I will be staying around a little bit longer. 7 more council meetings, to be exact.
But who's counting?
Not that I'm counting. This evening, I was intending to convene in closed session with you to have a discussion about my service to you, and also in terms of the recruitment of a new city attorney in that position. So that's all I have for this evening.
Okay.
For now.
Very well. Thank you. Well, I think you've already announced the closed session. So we'll adjourn to that, and then we'll come back and report out. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.